Welcome back to the Rarely Heard Fabry Disease Podcast, a 9-part series devoted to Fabry disease. Throughout this series, we hear from Fabry disease experts, patients, and caregivers who share practical advice, insights, and perspectives on living with this rare disease. Rarely Heard Fabry Disease is initiated and funded by Takeda Pharmaceuticals and is intended for an international audience outside the USA. Navigating the rare disease environment can be daunting for patients. So in this episode, we are joined by Dr. Bechtold Wielden. Bechtold explains how patient organizations can support families living with Fabry disease. Hi, and welcome back, Bechtold. Thank you so much for joining us again on the Rarely Heard podcast. Now, before we start, could you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, of course. Hello, everyone. My name is Bechtold Wielden, and I'm the president of the German Fabry Patient Organization, the Morbus Fabry Selbsthilfegruppe. Today, our group has more than 160 members, and we organize regional patient meetings and at least one countryside event each year. This year, it was a 3-day family and patient conference with about 100 participants. But we also publish a hard copy newsletter 4 times a year. I became involved in our group by one of the nurses who provides me with my infusions against Fabry disease at home. And she told me about the group and asked me if I would be interested in joining the board. At that time, I had no experience in working with a patient organization. I had some experience working with my local sports club. So I joined the group in 2014 and became vice president in 2018 and eventually president in 2020.
Yes, great. Can you tell us more about how the German Fabry Patient Organization supports patients?
Well, we support patients with information about Fabry disease, about treatments for Fabry disease, and in which clinics in Germany there are specialists for the disease. We do this mainly in our newsletter and through the internet, but we also advise patients on the phone or by email. To connect patients and their families with other patients, we organize at least once a year a countrywide event like a conference. And we also organize a regularly regional patient meetings in different regions. And we are hoping that these meetings will sometimes in the future lead to regional subgroups within our organization.
Right. Is this level of support what you would expect to find from, say, other patient organizations worldwide?
Yes. Generally, patient organizations can provide patients with information about the disease, treatments, clinics, and also about the social security system in the country, which supports option it offers. Apart from this, they can provide information about events, studies on Fabry disease, as well as surveys running in the country. To get this information, they need to keep in touch with Fabry centers and representatives from the pharmaceutical companies. They should also connect to other patient organizations in their country. And another important thing patient organizations do is to organize patient meetings so that patients learn from other patients. For many patients, it means a lot to know that there are others sharing their faith and experience.
Definitely. And how do patient organizations help patients and their families navigate healthcare systems?
Well, patient organizations can gather information about national healthcare system, especially information about doctors with experience with Fabry disease. And to get this information, they need to keep in touch with all the stakeholders. And one of the best ways to keep in touch with patients and relate this information to them is through the internet and social media. As there are many older patients who are not so familiar with internet and social media, patients' organizations should still consider publishing printed material, such as informational brochures or magazines.
Now, in previous episodes, we discussed the challenging diagnostic odyssey that patients and their families face. In your experience, what are some common issues that delay a Fabry diagnosis?
Actually, the biggest obstacle to arriving at a quick diagnosis is still that many doctors aren't familiar with Fabry disease. Too many doctors refer the patient to a specialist too late, and this is sometimes because they do not know to which specialist they should refer to. Here in Germany, we have specialized centers for rare diseases to which patients with unique symptoms should be referred. The systems cover research, diagnostics, and treatment for rare disease. However, with most patients, their doctors do not refer them to these centers until they realize that they are not getting anywhere with their disease management. Furthermore, even some centers of rare diseases take too long to refer the patient to the appropriate FABI specialist.
Yes. So how could a patient organization like yours help improve diagnosis for patients?
Well, when patients think they might have Fabry disease, they can contact us, the patient organization, and we give them the name and phone numbers of the nearest Fabry center. Or we tell them how their doctors can make a test for Fabry disease.
Right. And could patient organizations like your own help with other challenges patients with Fabry disease might encounter?
Yes. Often we have been able to refer patients who suspect that children have Fabry disease, for example, those with a history of disease in the family, to a pediatrician who are well versed in the disease. I remember one incident as well. There was a patient approaching us during a conference who reported that she had requested a specific treatment that was denied. And we were able to refer to an appropriate person who helps patients with lysosomal storage diseases free of charge.
Now, I think some patients may find talking to or understanding the doctor challenging, especially with a disease they're not familiar with. How could patient organizations assist patients in their interactions with healthcare professionals?
Well, many healthcare professionals simply do not know the disease or know too little. In addition, they might explain the disease poorly. In these cases, patient organizations can help patients find the right doctors. They can also explain to the patient exactly what they have and what it means for them. In particular, tricky cases, it can help to have someone from the patient organization accompany the patient to the doctor. Of course, this is something very challenging for the patient organization, depending on their size and on how big the country is.
I think a challenge for many patients is that they may not realize they have Fabry disease. And as a patient organization, now, how do you raise awareness of the disease and reach these patients?
Yes, actually, in the past, I'd say before the corona crisis, we regularly went to fairs and conferences and events, for example, organized by clinics for patients, where we have a stand and presented ourselves, but also the disease. But I agree, it's difficult to approach patients which don't have a clue that they might have had Fabry. And we reach out to patients, actually, when they contact us, that they think they might have Fabry because they did research on the internet. They have some symptoms, especially neuropathic pain. So they Google for neuropathic pain, and by coincidence, they came across the word Fabry disease, and then they do research on it in the internet, then came across us, and then they contact us and ask us and provide us a list of symptoms, and we say, okay, this might be Fabry, and then we refer them to a Fabry center or provide them with the details how their general practitioner can do a test for Fabry disease.
Yes, and how do patients and their families typically get in contact with your patient organization?
Well, nowadays, the internet certainly plays a major role for patients when they want to find out about a disease. And this also applies to finding a patient organization about the disease in the respective country and how to reach them. And that's why it is important that patient organizations are active on the internet, meaning they should have a website and, if possible, be active on social media. The website does not need to be particularly large to start with. Contact details for the organization and initial information are sufficient for now. And as for social media, Facebook and Instagram are ideal to start with.
Right. What advice now would you give our audience if they do not have a Fabry patient organization in their country?
If there's no patient organization in a country to which patients can turn to, they should look for organizations in a neighboring country. And there are also international associations of national patient organizations for many diseases. For Fabry, for example, there's a Fabry International Network. These associations are often able to help, and information about the disease is usually also provided by pharmaceutical companies, at least in English. And this information can then be translated on the internet using specific tools.
What are some main challenges patient organizations face?
One of the biggest challenges for patient organization is certainly being heard, both by the medical profession and the public sector. Unfortunately, there's only one thing that helps, and that is staying persistent. So find out contact details and contact the people, preferably by phone, and keep on going until you get them to listen to you. Another big problem is, of course, funding. Many of the ideas I've listed so far require resources, both money and people who volunteer to do the work. Many patients are so severely affected by their disease that they are having trouble managing their daily lives, so it's difficult for them to do volunteer work. But if you have enough money, you can even hire people. They can then take over the fundraising. Fundraising for us means, first of all, we look for foundations and public donors as well as the industry, especially the pharmaceutical companies. These must then be contacted to find out under what conditions they can offer financial support. Of course, another possibility is to call for donations via the internet, and even small donations help if you manage to generate enough of them. A website and social media are very helpful for this.
Great. Thank you, Bechtold. I'm sure all the Fabry patients appreciate the effort made to maintain a successful patient organization. What assistance do patient organizations need in order to improve your ability to support and advocate for patients?
Well, actually, one of the best support patient organization can get is from other patient organizations. Firstly, from those within the same country, but also those from other countries or from larger alliances like the EU. For example, if you live in Europe, Euratis is certainly a place to contact. The public authorities also should support patient organizations. But unfortunately, this is not yet realized in all countries. But certainly, it is worth to persistently ask for support. And last but not least, the pharmaceutical companies are allowed to support patient organizations to a certain extent. I didn't only mean financial support. Companies often have contact to doctors and persons organizations that can help.
Right. Now, do patient organizations have a role in developing clinical guidelines?
Well, actually, in Germany, when there are new treatments or when there are discussions within authorities to allow new treatments or to refund new treatments, and that's the reason why we need to be independent and have to look for other fundings than from the pharmaceutical companies, because to get involved in these processes, you need to be considered independent, and that means you can only accept about 15% of your yearly budget financed by pharmaceutical companies. And with regards to guidelines, the medical organizations have agreed to that patient organizations are involved in the process, and we are currently actually involved in the process because there is a new clinical guideline on Fabry disease supposed to be published at the beginning next year.
Now, as patient organizations have a unique position between patients and pharmaceutical companies, do you help to communicate trial data to patients?
We provide patients with information about studies in Germany. We read the study documents, especially the documents which are provided to the patient, before we share information about studies to our patients or patients in general. And we sometimes provide advice on these documents, actually.
Well, do you have any advice for anyone who may be running a Fabry patient organization in another country, or perhaps considering starting one?
It's difficult to give advice in a specific country unless it's your own country. And even then, it depends on so many circumstances. The president before I took over told me that she was approached by people in Austria, and she replied to them that she could not help because she doesn't know the situation in Austria, especially the legal situations. But the general advice is that I could give is approach patient organization in your country from other diseases, maybe not even rare diseases, and to ask help for a non-government organization and lawyers who are familiar with the situation in the country.
Bechtold, thank you very much for joining us today. We've really learned so much in this episode. Now, before we go, could you please give us a quick summary?
Yes, as a summary, I would advise patient organizations to be on the internet, to provide a website, and to be active on social media like Facebook and Instagram, and to keep in touch with all stakeholders like doctors, but also authorities, and to persistently ask for support.
Thank you again for joining us, Bechtel. It was really great talking to you.
Thank you. You too.
That's it for this episode of the Rarely Heard Fabry Disease Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we hope you learned a lot from Bechtold. Support the podcast by subscribing, sharing it with others, or leaving a rating and review. The next and final episode of this season combines all the advice and wisdom from everyone who has joined us in this Fabry Disease series. This podcast series is initiated and funded by Takeda Pharmaceuticals and is intended for an international audience outside the USA.